A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Erevin Yudzayin, Erevin 17a, pagination page 33, towards the bottom, must be about 20 or 25 lines from the bottom, a new Mishnah. Arbo devorim potru b'machane. There are four things that when the Jewish people went to war, they were absolved of these mitzvahs, mitzvahs derabbanon, presumably, that somehow it was worked out that they should be able to be lenient on these four things because there were other stresses that they had to keep track of. Mivim eitzim mikol makom, they're allowed to take wood from any place. The Gemara is going to challenge this and say that when Yehoshua gave everybody their inheritance, he legislated that people can take small wood, cheap wood, from anywhere that was abandoned, and you don't have to worry who the owner might be. But our Mishnah is teaching us even good wood that could be used for firewood, yovesh, it's dried, different conditions are also going to be more lenient because of the case of war. And then the Mishnah says the other three. Upturu mirechitzas yadayim, they don't have to wash before eating bread. Umidmai, and from food that was bought from an Amo Oretz, from a person who was not so meticulous in halacha. So normally you would have to take certain tithes, and we believe that they were tithed, but the Rabbanan required that you tithe it, presumably again, just to make sure. So in the case of battle, we do not make that requirement, as long as we can assume it was tithed by this farmer. So you can rely on that, even though normally you would not rely on that. And we find such a leniency in different cases. A person who's traveling, there are cases that we allow demai. It's one of those borderline things that gets a lot of focus because it's a very big lesson of exactly how to handle something that might be considered a chumrah in a case where things are a little bit difficult. Umila arev, and they don't have to do an erev chatzerus. As long as they do what we call an erev, which is an enclosure around the camp, so that it becomes a rishus hayachid, a private area, they don't have to also do the erev chatzerus, which traditionally was to collect the token amount from each person and then leave it in the same basket so that they are united. So they don't have to do that. Again, they just have to do the basic enclosure. Now, this topic of demai, food that we're not sure if it was tithed, opens up a fascinating discussion. Sometimes when people are traveling, so they wonder, they come to a town where some eatery or some situation is not quite up to par of what they're used to. And the question is a person who's local supposed to be more strict? Or is a person who's a traveler and doesn't have to be very inconvenienced, he's just going to miss this convenience once, twice while he's in town, is he supposed to be more strict? Who's supposed to be more strict? And you find grounds for both angles. On the one hand, the person who's local would be forbidden in demai. He should make arrangements. And the person who's the traveler can be more lenient because he's in a case of duress. He's got problems. He needs to have access to food. And we want to provide for him, so we don't require that he be so strict. On the other hand, the person who's local doesn't have a choice. If he's not lenient, I mean, these are his circumstances. And on the contrary, the person who's traveling can manage for a day or two without the creature comforts that we're used to. The person who's local, he has no choice. So it becomes a very interesting mix of sources and figuring out when each one applies to a particular person. Let's turn the page, and the Gemara elaborates regarding the hand washing. We're about 20 lines from the top, towards the end of a line. Upeturim mirchitzas yadayim, and they don't have to do the hand washing. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Lo shanu alamayim rishonim. We're referring here to the water that's used before eating bread. Avamayim acharonim chova. But the water that's used at the end of the meal, that's an obligation. And as we'll see in a moment, chamira sakanta meisura, a danger is even more serious than the halacha itself. And there are times that we are even more strict because there's a health hazard. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ash, mepnei ma'omer, mayim acharonim chova. What's the source? For mayim acharonim, mepnei shemelach sedomis yesh, because there's salt from Sodom that's mixed in to general salt. Shemesameya eso einayim. And that causes a blindness. Rachmana litzlan, if a person were to touch their eyes afterwards. Amar Abayo mishkachna kikurta bikura. It comes out one grain in every kur, a very large measure, but there's a little bit in there. How it got there, we could discuss, but somehow there is melech sedomis mixed into salt, and a person uses salt in the course of the meal, particularly the Gemara and Bracha says they used to dip into salt, and therefore we're worried that the person will touch their eyes, and they have to wash their hands before we proceed. The Taisvis outer commentary, top line, tells us Achshav lo noagu b'mayim acharonim. There's a difference of opinion whether mayim acharonim needs to be done or not, which would explain why some people are lax regarding mayim acharonim, even though the Gemara seems to be very forceful, even when we were willing to absolve the army from washing before bread, but by mayim acharonim we weren't willing to absolve them, but somehow we're lenient. Says Taisvis, the ein melech sedomis matzui beinenu, because we don't have melech sedomis in our salt. Among us, you don't have melech sedomis. And therefore he holds that it's not necessary. Another approach which is used is that perhaps since we use utensils, so we don't actually touch the salt, perhaps that's sufficient. Another approach is that many people end up washing their hands in the kitchen in the course of serving the meal. They go back and forth, so perhaps they don't have to wash. That's the big leniency for women if they congregate in the kitchen while serving dessert, so presumably they wash their hands, and that's why many women will not wash their hands. Nevertheless, even though we can justify some degree of leniency, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, but Mayim Acharonim, when it was washed, was not just regarding Melech Sedomis. The way it's brought in halacha in the beginning of Simen Kuf Pei Aleph is that somehow there's a ruach ra'a, there's a bad spirit on that water. We find that after people wash mayim acharonim, many people are careful either to take it off the table or to at least cover the mayim acharonim. There's something not so good about the mayim acharonim, and one wonders where did it come from if not from the hands. And obviously, there is something on the hands at the end of the meal, and in order to do some degree of closure, similar or at least some degree of analogy to the fact that not only are we supposed to wash our hands, but we're supposed to wipe our mouth clean. That's brought in a Gemara that we've done already. So it seems that you're supposed to do closure on the meal. Food was going into the mouth. Now clean the area, and you're done. You're ready to bench. Washing the hands, similar concept. You were handling it, and now you're done. You're complete. You're ready to wash your hands. There are many that wash their hands before every davening with a little water. It's based on a pasuk. So it would seem that even if there is grounds for leniency regarding Mayim Acharonim, that it's not quite as serious as the Gemara is making it, but it certainly does seem to be something that a person should make an effort to observe. Yashar Koach, have a great day.